The Geek Cave.
Okay, so joining us now on The Geek Cave is Randall Lobb. He's a director for Turtle Power, the definitive history of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And Randall, thanks for taking some time with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Please.
So tell me a little bit about the movie. We got an advanced copy. We watched it. I loved it. It's a documentary about kind of how the Ninja Turtles really got off the ground, so to speak. Tell me a little bit about the thought process that went into doing this kind of a project.
Well, you're talking to the naysayer, and I'm the guy that when we were sitting there, two men, grown men in their 40s in 2008, waiting to talk to a 24-year-old DP that we'd worked with. He wanted to pitch us something. We weren't sure what it was. I was super skeptical. I'd known this kid his whole life. And I thought, who knows what he's going to say? His energy, his enthusiasm, his manic drive to do the things that he thinks are awesome, it can be so disruptive for an old man like myself. And he walked up and he said, I want to do a documentary on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Do you want to help? I said, no. And at the exact same time, my partner, Mark Hussey, said, yes. And I looked at Hussey and he looked at me. And then I went, ah, because I realized that he was thinking what I was thinking. Hey, man, you wanted to do a documentary on a pop culture niche. There is no better opportunity than this. So all my frets and concerns and worries, instead of turning them into a big fat no, I turned them into, okay, how do we solve this problem? How do we solve that problem? How do we address this? How do we address that? So it became sort of a ground zero exercise in absolute independent grassroots filmmaking from zero. So what is this? This is the dream of three guys who are struggling to do something while they have day jobs, while they have families, while they undergo incredible life changes. You know, some people got married, some people bought houses. One old man got both his hips replaced. That was me. Every possible life change that you could have short of being kidnapped by aliens. And don't think we didn't try to do that. It happened. And we still were able to keep nose to the grindstone and put together a movie that, you know, when you say you loved it, boy, that's so rewarding, because it really was a test of every aspect of being a creative person and trying to get that down in some medium where you can share it, appreciate it, and say you liked it. Believe me.
Now, how did you get involved with Paramount? Because I know that you guys didn't start with Paramount on board. That just kind of happened later, right?
It sure did. Well, what you do is you try to find and make every contact you can, and you try to maximize those contacts. So we were lucky enough to end up with a guy who's now a friend. His name is Galen Walker, and he was tied to the movie that was on the board that Paramount needed. Producer of the 2017 movie, and he was able to get someone at Paramount eventually to listen to him. I'm sure he was nagging them as much as we were nagging him. And when, you know, to be honest, when it looked like we had a really good project and I started to show it around, I don't think he was very long going to Paramount and saying, you know, if you don't buy it, somebody else will, and you'll be doing press for your Michael Bay produced TMNT movie, and it will also be pressed for this documentary. And I'm sure someone at Paramount said, what? That's not accessible. So we began to have negotiations with them. And I will say this, it has been a great relationship. It's real. And I've been very, very happy with how things have gone with them. They have got behind this movie because they liked it. And that's another great piece of, you know, I could take away that nice feeling too.
Now the segment you did with the voice actors was probably my favorite part. It just seemed like the most fun segment. Was there a particular portion of this documentary that you had more fun with than others?
Me personally, it's about Mexican food. I had a lot of fun with Mexican food.
Okay.
I live in Canada. I live in southwestern Ontario in a rural environment. And when we, you know, do some of our shooting, quite a bit of the time we're going to Los Angeles. And boy, don't think I didn't take full advantage of that. But I will say, I'm also a huge comedy nerd. a very, very, very well-informed comedy nerd. And when I found out that Michael Ian Black and Robert Van Curant from The State served time as turtles, guys in suits, before their careers as comedians, right out of college, I mean, they quit college to tour, in the coming out of their shells tour, I flipped a gasket, and I was absolutely thrilled to go to their homes and talk to them in their homes. And these are two guys that, I mean, their comedy chops are unparalleled. I love that. I love being in the Henson studio. I mean, that's Charlie Chaplin's office that you're sitting in when you're seeing us talking to Brian Henson. We're in Charlie Chaplin's office. You can go on YouTube right now and see he recorded the chopping down of an orange grove on La Brea there in the building of that studio in a time lapse. And for a film historian, that's spectacular. And how about being on the lot at Paramount? I mean, Adolf Zukor founded that studio way, way back. I think it was 1917, potentially. So we're talking about all these historical elements. And you can lard that on top of meeting Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. And they're such good, such awesome people. And they really became friends with us. And we became friends with them. That was amazing. And, you know, I could keep listing people. Fred Wolf's office. He's got an Oscar sitting there. He's got... you know, he remembers working with Harry Nilsson and dealing with Ringo Starr. He was in Korea. He talked about coming back from the Korean War and working in animation in New York. I mean, I could just keep going. Finding out that Chuck Lorre wrote the lyrics to the theme of Mutant Ninja Turtles theme song. You know, what? Okay. But there are just so many things that... I mean, we could do this for 3 hours, so sorry.
Well, yeah, and the Chuck Lorre thing was definitely something that I did a double take on. And we're not going to spoil it for anyone listening because we want people to go out and buy the documentary, but the bus-kicking turtles thing was... that was something that I had never heard before. And
Aaron, that we didn't learn that until 2013.
Wow.
It was one of our last times of interviewing. Well, maybe not. It was maybe our second last time interviewing Peter. And he said, you know, I was watching all the footage that you showed, because we showed him a bunch of stuff. And he said, and I actually had a memory that I don't think I've ever thought of before. And he told that bus-kicking turtle story.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Well, it's definitely a unique experience and something that I think every turtle fan should own. Now, going through all of this stuff, I mean, you look at the movie, you look at how the Turtles got started, and then the transition to Playmates, toys, and the animated series and whatnot. Besides the bus-kicking Turtles thing, because that's something that I don't know very many people have heard about, are there any other kind of little tidbits that maybe you picked up from the documentary that you really did not expect to hear, or something that you were just kind of surprised to learn about?
Yeah, I mean, in retrospect, everything seems like it was always that way. The turtles are just the turtles, and it just happened. Well, in every single case, including our documentary, and including, you know, the big feature that is coming out tomorrow, and I'll be seeing tonight at midnight, he says excitedly, there was a reason why it wasn't going to happen. Or, in many cases, many, many, many reasons why it wasn't going to happen. And you see something from the side of it, you know, 30 years on, and it looks like it's just inevitable that it was going to be. Well, it certainly was everything but inevitable, and it was an uphill climb again and again and again. And although the comic was very popular immediately, nobody wanted to make toys, nobody wanted to make the cartoon, nobody wanted to do anything. It was just that the ennui of the status quo, the idea that companies don't want to take risks, that creative things can be dangerous, that was a real obvious thing that I took away. So very interesting in that regard.
Absolutely. Well, I promised I'd only take up 10 minutes of your time, and that 10 minutes has hit right now. So just one final question, that is, you know, for people who may be on the fence about this, or the naysayers, or those who are like, well, you know, the turtles were cool when I grew up, but now I'm just kind of meh about them. What would you tell them to try to convince them to pick up the documentary?
Well, we are all human beings, and this is a story about human beings who did something that is very interesting and amazing, and it ends up being a story about, you know, fulfilling your dreams, and I think it has a lot of heart, and it speaks to everyone. My wife liked it, and she couldn't be less interested in geek culture. So that's testimony right there.
Awesome. Well, I loved it, and I'm going to show it to our comic guy, who's a huge Turtles fan. I think he'll love it, too. So it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I really appreciate the time.
Oh, you too, man. Thanks so much.